Greece and the $500 million bill that's due today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Greece's government is caught between its promises to ease austerity there and the bills it owes international lenders. But one milestone was just reached. Theo Leggett, business reporter from our partner broadcaster at the BBC, is following this from London. Hello, Theo.
Good morning, David.
So the big deadline for Greece to pay what it owes the IMF was today. What do we know?
Well, it's one of a number of deadlines, each of which is more important than the last. What we believe is that Greece has this time come up with the money. That leaves the question of whether or not it can meet future debt repayments. That includes another $200 million due to the IMF on May the 1st and a whopping $763 million on May the 12th. Now, there is real doubt that Greece will have the resources to do that unless it gets more money from the IMF, the European Union and the ECB.
And the mood right now is what in terms of the future of more money from the EU or other sources for Greece?
It's very difficult to tell at the moment. The crunch date really is the 24th of April, and that's when the next scheduled meeting of the Eurogroup is due to take place. Now, Germany wants Greece to stick to a very tight reform program, which, of course, the Greek government has already said it wants watered down. So there is the question of, can an agreement be reached on 24th of April, and will it be acceptable to hardline voices within the Greek government?
All right, so I've just move the red letter on my Greece calendar from today, the 9th of April, to the 24th. We shall see what happens. The BBC's Theo Leggett in London, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's check the numbers. London's FTSE 100 stock index is up 0.7%. The key index on Hong Kong's high-flying exchange is up another 2.7% today, although they were down 0.8% in Shanghai. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.2% range now. Harvard Business School has just launched a new program to deal with the persistent imbalance. Just 41% of its MBA students are women. Its outreach goes like this. For a fee of $500, women can take a peek at the business school by trying it out for a weekend. The program is called Peek. Tim Fitzsimmons has the story.
Harvard has the pick of the litter when it comes to creating its student body, so why does its business school have a 20% disparity in gender balance when the law school and college do not?
Mostly, I think it's because the environment is fairly hostile.
That's Linda Scott. She's a professor at Oxford's Said Business School in England. She says it's not only Harvard that has this problem. She says business school course material is presented like it's a man thing in both narrative and content.
I think a lot of women just want to avoid that environment.
So Harvard Business School's new PEAK program is the latest stab at fixing its gender imbalance. Dee Leopold is the managing director of admissions. She and her team are visiting women's colleges right now to invite students to the weekend-long program in June.
They'll immediately be in a classroom here doing a case. They will have had the case sent to them before, but they will be hitting the ground running.
The school hopes this will give women a taste of what business school is all about. Of course, in June, they'll be getting the summer vacation version. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Typically measure the economy by counting when dollars change hands. That's gross domestic product. That means dollars spent on bad things, like fixing a car after a crash, count the same as good things like maybe buying a new tricycle for a kid. One key alternate measure is called the Social Progress Index, which also looks at health, education, safety, access to information, personal freedom, and other measures across the globe. This year's index is out this morning, and joining us is Michael Green, executive director of the organization that compiles it. Mr. Green, good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, Social Progress Index. Give me a sense of what you measure.
So the Social Progress Index is measuring the performance of countries based entirely on non-economic indicators. So it's social and environmental issues only, completely separate from what we normally know as GDP per capita.
All right. So United States do pretty well in the GDP department. Are we close to number one, according to your latest assessment?
So of all the countries, we've ranked 133 countries. The United States is fifth on GDP per capita, but only 16th on social progress.
Now, we talked a year ago. That's about what we were last year, right?
That's right. It hasn't got better, hasn't got worse.
It hasn't got worse. That's something. What are we getting dinged for? Where are some areas that policymakers should focus on if you wanted to do better in a survey like this?
I think what's really striking is the United States is underperforms across a range of areas. One of the areas is safety. There's issues about crime. Traffic accidents actually quite high in the United States. Education. The U.S. ranks 45th in the world on access to basic education. Then, really surprisingly, access to information.
Access to information. Compared to some other countries, the United States does not perform that well?
That's right. 23rd overall in the world. About 15% of Americans don't have regular access to the internet. And a lot of other countries, it's 10, 5, 2%.
A key issue for many policymakers, the Obama administration has been focused on this, is inequality, income inequality. How does that play out in data like yours that doesn't look at the money, looks at the social factors?
Well, it's interesting. We look across the whole set of countries and see, is there a relationship with income inequality measured by this thing, the Gini coefficient? And we don't find a relationship. What we do find is that countries that have lower poverty have more social progress. So if you really want to advance the real quality of life of all your citizens, focusing on poverty is really, really important.
It's called the Social Progress Index, the people who bring it to you, the Social Progress Imperative. It's Executive Director Michael Green. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
Investors love Switzerland as a safe haven for investments. It doesn't use the euro. And if Greece goes bust, parking money there might be a decent hedge. Demand is so high to put money into Switzerland that as of today, it became the first country where the government's 10-year bond produces what's called a negative yield. That means instead of the government paying the investor when it borrows, investors pay Switzerland to hold their money. Check Twitter at Marketplace for a further explanation of this kind of bizarre condition. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.